Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, Drina Burton is the author of Plant-Powered Families, 100 Kid-Tested Whole Food Vegan Recipes, and it includes tips for picky eaters. Drina, you know, when you wrote this book and when you started raising your children vegan, what were some of the issues that you kind of ran into that maybe you hadn't considered before?
Well, I think I had imagined a whole host of horrible things. Yeah. Initially, I think we imagine a situation, like many things in life, to be far worse than it is in actuality when we are there in the moment. But I haven't had too many big troubles with our girls. I have to say, it's not the vegan part of parenting that's tough, it's the parenting part. Oh, yeah. Period. So it hasn't been too challenging. I think when you're pregnant and in those early months with a newborn, having a support network is very important. Someone that will support your choice, that's pretty critical, because it's a very vulnerable time. You feel very vulnerable when you're pregnant or in those early months with your baby's development and growth. And if you have someone who is making you doubt that decision because they don't have a lot of knowledge in the area, then that can be very stressful. And I experienced that myself. Again, the information wasn't quite as readily available as it is now. So I think if you can find a midwife or a doctor that can understand and even support the decision, that's very, very important. And then as your kids grow, I mean, we sort of just go through some of the normal stages, like picky eaters and things that go on in school and that kind of thing. But other than that, it hasn't been a difficult time for us. I find our kids really love their food and they don't object to not eating meat or dairy. They don't ask to eat those foods. They really do enjoy the foods we eat and have a really good appreciation for food.
Mm. Now, what happens when you, and you talk about this in the book, when some of your kids' friends come over?
Well, there's a couple of things I do. Some of them know we're vegan, so there's a couple of things that happen. Either they're kind of curious or they initially have this closed mind, like, oh, their food must be really weird. And I've seen both of those experiences where the kids come in and they're pretty keen to try things. Like, they'd love to try a green smoothie, or they want to sit and have some hummus with our daughters. Or usually I do something that I know kids will love, like cookies, and just serve them up, and they're quite happy. I mean, if you've got a delicious cookie, who really cares? It's just delicious, and they're enjoying it. So it's a little bit of both. And with my kids, my littlest is in kindergarten now, and she's come home a couple of times and said to me, you know, one of her friends, she'll say, oh, so-and-so is she eats vegan food. And I say to her, well, yeah, because we all eat vegan food. Like, look at all the foods we eat that are vegan, like fruits and beans and grains and pasta and all kinds of things, bananas and nuts. And I said, lots of us, we all eat vegan food. I said, we just happen to eat vegan food all the time. And so I try to frame it for their ages and talk to them in ways that are really appropriate. And when their friends come over, I really just try to make food fun so that they're all enjoying it and let them share it. And usually with new kids, if they don't really understand the diet, I make the food as quote-unquote normal for them as possible, like popcorn and cookies and fruit and things that they're quite familiar with.
You mentioned, during your pregnancy that there was some pressure on you. What tips would you give to, you know, people that are women that are pregnant and, you know, wanting to go vegan and making sure that they get enough protein to grow that baby?
Right. Well, I think, like I said, one of the really key things is having that health care provider that is supportive for you, whether that's a midwife or a doctor, or maybe also in addition to one of those providers, maybe a naturopath as well, someone who can has a good understanding of the diet, because a lot of doctors, unfortunately, don't understand the diet, so they don't really know the breadth and depth of the diet, like what we're eating and how many different foods come into our diet. It's far more than just what's left on the plate when you take off meat and your glass of milk. There's far more to our diet than what is removed. So that's one thing. And then I suggest that mothers really arm themselves with information. So get online and go to sites like PCRM, which is the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. And they have a lot of resources there for women who are pregnant or women who are nursing and then raising children on the vegan diet, and just to make them feel comfortable about all of the nutritional components, because it's not as hard to get protein and calcium and iron. They're sort of the three things that people are always really concerned about. And if you're eating a varied and complete whole foods diet, being fruits, vegetables, leafy greens, nuts, seeds, grains, beans, you're really getting protein is in just about almost everything we eat, and in the amounts that we need, and not in amounts that are excessive. Whereas when we eat dairy and meat, the protein level is quite excessive, and it's really hard on our bodies. So we get it in amounts that we need. And certain foods are exceptionally rich in protein on a vegan diet, like nuts and beans, and certain whole grains like quinoa. So it's not that hard. It's just about eating enough calories and eating a variety of foods, and it just kind of comes together.
You know, in terms of cooking some of these recipes with your kids, what are some of your favorite recipes that, you know, that you enjoy and your kids enjoy doing?
Yeah, my kids, I mean, they're pretty open-minded. They don't like a lot of spicy foods, and I notice that with kids in general. They don't like anything seasoned with garlic too much or a lot of heavy spices. And in my book, I give tips within recipes to adapt for flavors, like adult flavors versus kids. So I might say, just use this much garlic, and then after you can remove a portion and puree in more garlic if you like, or something like that for adults and kids. But our kids love, there's a recipe in the book called chickpea nibbles, and it's basically like a marinated chickpea, it's marinating chickpeas and baking them and letting all that marinade soak into the chickpeas. And I make a batch of those probably, or maybe a double batch, probably twice a week. And they eat those in their lunches and they love them, and they eat them after school. And I seem to be making them quite a lot. They like to make those themselves and get in the kitchen and sort of season them up the way they want to. But they love a lot of things, veggie burgers, and I make chia puddings, and I actually puree the chia seeds so they're mixed into the pudding rather than being left whole. They love those and, gosh, all kinds of things. They're, like I said, they're really good eaters, and they love avocado and guacamole, and so if I have a stew and it may not be their favorite, if I put some avocado on top of it, they'll dig on in. They're pretty open.
What are, you know, this time of year, there's a, you know, people are traveling, seem to be traveling a fair bit. What are some of the traveling tips that you have for eating vegan?
Well, it's pretty helpful to have some recipes. When I go somewhere, and I was away a couple of weeks ago, and I was planning even for myself to go and then for my kids and my husband at home, I plan to bake and cook some things in advance. So I talk about batch cooking in my book quite a bit, because if you can find a day on the weekend or an evening where you can double batch, say, some snack bars that are healthy, or a batch of soup or some hummus. I make batches of hummus all the time and freeze portions because hummus actually freezes really well. And when you make it yourself, it tastes far, far better than store-bought. So things like healthy snack bars, and there's a lot of snack bars on the market, but they're not always very satisfying, and they often are very high in sweeteners. So I like to make a lot of those at home. I have some that are made with oats and pumpkin seeds, and I put chocolate chips in there, and they're really, really hearty and delicious. And then another thing is a granola recipe that I make. It's called Almonds and Granola, and it's, again, a lower sugar granola than a lot of store-bought varieties, and it's really hearty, and you can have it with milk if you want, like a plant-based milk, or just eat it straight up. I love to take hummus with vegetables and or make sandwiches and wraps out of hummus with veggies inside. And if you freeze hummus, you can take it with you. Those are some ideas. And then, like, all kinds of baking, healthy muffins and things, I'll always bake those in batches and take them with me or freeze extra for the family, that kind of thing. So a lot of snacks that you can make at home. And then if you're picking some things up in the store, now there's a lot of raw snacks, and those are quite nutrient dense. So if you're taking a lot of fruit on the go, which is always great to have fresh fruit and vegetables on, say, car trips, or if you're going to the pool or something like that for the day, But if you have some nutrient-dense snacks as well, like some raw nut mixtures or granola or kale chips and that kind of thing, it really is, helps to sort of fill you up a little bit more. So those are some great things to be able to pick up at the store as well.
Trina, do you have any tips for parents that are, you know, trying to encourage their kids to eat more vegetables than perhaps chips?
I mean, picky eaters are always in the realm, no matter what diet you eat. And for veggies, I mean, it's really important to model and to practice what you preach, because a lot of us are telling our kids, you know, make sure you eat that vegetable, or make sure you eat your broccoli or your carrots, and then if they see mom or dad sitting down and eating chips instead of vegetables, then it's not going to fly. So it's really important to model that behavior. And I do find, like with my own kids, my eldest is now 14, and for a very long time, she didn't love greens and didn't love especially the dark leafies like kale and collards. And just recently, because I love having steamed kale, and recently she said, Mom, can I try that? And I said, of course. And I gave her some, and she put some seasoning on it, some tamari and a few other things. And she said, can I have this all the time with lunch? And I said, yeah, of course. So whereas my six-year-old still calls everything leafy, green, yucky, and stinky. So, you know, you've got to sort of understand that it's a process with kids, and their palates really develop. So, but modeling is very important, and giving them some choices, like not just putting something down and saying, well, you must eat that, because some kids really do have a preference for certain vegetables or fruits. So give them a chance to choose, like, would you like cucumbers or red peppers today? Or would you like broccoli or cauliflower? That kind of thing. It's sort of them being involved. And on that note, sometimes I'll ask the kids what recipe they might like to try out, or what new ingredient at the store would they maybe like to try, like a new vegetable or fruit. And if they feel a little more invested in the recipe or in the dinner, then they're more likely to try it. Doesn't mean they're going to like it necessarily, but they're more encouraged to try it. So I always encourage parents to get their kids invested in some way. So it may not be cooking with you, because that's not always easy to have kids in the kitchen, but maybe they choose an ingredient or a recipe.
Trina, we're almost out of time, and I'm just wondering if you can just sum up your book for people that are listening. This is your chance really to sell the book and tell people where they can get it.
For sure, for sure. Well, the book is Plant Powered Families, and there's 100 recipes in there and lots of tips on packing lunches for kids and picky eaters, menu plans. And they can go to my website, which is plantpoweredkitchen.com, and learn more. And they can also connect to my social media sites through my site, and I post all kinds of information there as well.
Trina, thanks so much for coming on the show. It's been great having you.
Thank you, Dave. Have a good day.
Yeah. Again, the website for Trina was plantpoweredkitchen.com. The book is called Plant Powered Families. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Bill Aaron about his book, New Beginnings.